Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Gimel. And we had a whole discussion yesterday about if people do melachos together on Shabbos, what is their status? So we'll just quickly chazer over the Gemara from yesterday and then we'll begin. So yesterday we learned in the Mishnah that if a person does a melacha by himself, he's obviously chayiv. He has to do the akira and the anocha, then he's going to be chayiv for carrying. But if two people do it, under certain situations, both could be chayev, or neither could be chayev. And that was a machlokes. We had different tanoim with different opinions. So we'll pick up with the last machlokes that we had, which was starting really on the bottom of Tzadi Beis Omid Beis by the Tanu Rabbanon, where we brought down the pasuk. The pasuk said, "Vim nefesh achas techete bishkoga neyama oretz basosa." So this pasuk is a critical pasuk that says basosa. We see that's the crux of the machlokes: is you have to do the malacha in its entirety or not. We had different Tanoic opinions, and for example, at the very top of our Amud, we had the case of Eagle Shodvela, which is a very heavy type of an object. It's a large cake of figs, or you have a large board, or a Korah, a big board. So Rav Yehuda's opinion was, im lo yachol echad lotzio, if each individual on their own wasn't strong enough to go and carry it out, lav davka, that they were strong enough, means that they weren't positioned, whatever the situation was, to carry it out in the way that they're holding it right now on their own, and they're only able to do it together. So Rav Yehuda says, in that situation, they would be chayev, but if each of them was able to do it on their own, and they jointly did it together, Rav Yehuda says they would be potter. That's the opinion of Yehuda. Rav Shimon disagreed. Rav Shimon said, even though each one alone wasn't able to do it on their own, they needed to do it with each other, to do it jointly, and they did it jointly, nevertheless, Rav Shimon says, you still would be Pturim in this situation, again, based upon the word ba'asosa, which we said that you have to do the entire act yourself. Now, Tosus points out that this isn't really the only drasha. There are three drashas over here, but ba'asosa is the critical one for this machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. That's why the Gemara only brings down this one right now. But now, this is where we left off yesterday, we're up to b'mai pligi. What is the crux of the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon? It's based upon this pasuk that I just read, and we begin the Gemara about 7 lines down from the top. B'mai pligi, what is the understanding of the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Again, Rav Yehuda says, if each individual could not have done it on their own, they did it jointly, they're chayev. And Rabbi Shimon says, even though each individual could have done it, could not have done it on their own, and they had to do it jointly, nevertheless, you're still potter. So, b'mai kamifligi, what do they argue about? B'hai kor, on this pasuk that we just said. Now, this pasuk, again, read it one more time. V'im nefesh achas techte bishkoga me'yam oretz basosa. So we break this pasuk up into 3 component parts. V'im nefesh achas, techete bishkoga, me'yam oretz, ba'asosa. So Rabbi Shimon Sover as follows. Tlosa miyutik sivi. There are 3 miyutim over here. Number 1, nefesh techeta. Number 2, achas techeta. And number 3, ba'asosa techeta. Now, each of these is going to be a miyut to tell you that in this situation, in achayev. Chad, number 1, limute ze'okir zemeniach. That's the general rule, that a person must do the entire malacha. You have to do the akira and the anocha. You have to pick it up in the Rishus HaYochid and put it down in the Rishus HaRabim. You must, one single person, do the akira and the anocha. As we learned in the very first mission in the Masechta, if they share it, if the rich balabai is on the inside and the oni on the outside, each do half of the malacha, one does the akira, one does the anocha, then you're not going to be chayiv daraisa. You'd be awesome in the rabbanim, but you're not chayiv on a daraisa level. So you need one of these miyutim in this pasuk to teach us this din, that the oker and the miniach has to be the same person. Number 2, v'chad, you need another one of these miyutim, limute ze yochol v'ze yochol, that if both of them were able to do it on their own, but they did it jointly together, so you're even in that situation going to be potter, because each of them could have done it on their own. And since each could have done it on their own, they didn't do the avoda totally themselves when they did it with somebody else, and therefore this is a little bit of a chiddush compared to ze'oker v'ze'meniach, that of course you'd be potter. And even here, even though one person did both the akira and the anocha, but since they did it jointly, so each of them is going to be potter. And then the third one is going to teach us ba'asosa, the chad lemute ze'en yocho. Even if each of them could not have done it on their own, nevertheless, they did it jointly together, you're still going to be potter according to Rabbi Shimon, because ba'asosa means you have to do the entire malacha yourself and not with the assistance of somebody else. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion, these three drushes. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with these three drushes? So the first two are the same. Number one, Chad Mutizel Kavazim and Yech. He agrees that you need one to tell me that you have to do the entire process yourself, Akira and Hanocha. Number two, he agrees with Chad Mutizel Yocho Zayocho. If both of them were able to do it on their own, he also agrees that since each one could have done it on their own, the fact that they did it jointly doesn't make you Chayiv. So he also agrees. So the first two drushes, they both have the same exact drushes. But the third one, Yehuda doesn't use it to tell me the drasha of Rabbi Shimon. He says, no, in that situation where Eino Yocho, the Eino Yocho, and they do it jointly, you would be Chayiv. Aye, so what does he use the third drasha for? He says, V'chadimuti yochet shasor b'horoas beisdin. This is coming to tell you that if beisdin tells you to do something incorrectly on Shabbos, and you did it, so you did this malacha daraisa, but you did it under the horoah of beisdin, so then you also don't bring a chatos. If beisdin told this to everybody, then everybody would bring a par helam davishol tzibur on behalf, the basin would bring a par helam davishol tzibur on behalf of all of Klai Yisrael, and nobody would bring an individual chatas. And he's saying over here that even if the basin didn't tell everybody, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this drasha, the third pasuk, basoso, means you have to do it on your own accord. But if you did it because of the basin, so then you're not going to be chayav a chatas. That's what Rabbi Yehuda does with his third pasuk, the third miyut. And therefore, he doesn't have it available to do what Rabbi Shimon did, to exclude the case of Ze'eno Yocho, Ze'eno Yocho. In that case, Rabbi Yehuda says, since each of them couldn't have done it on their own, they do it jointly, that is considered a Chiyuv Chatos. Whereas Rabbi Shimon used the extra drasha to exclude that case as well. No, Rabbi Shimon now, what does he do? How does he tell you that based in, if they tell you to do something, that you're potter? So guess what? The gearsa that we have is Yochid Shasa Bo Ruaz Basin is Chayiv. So Rabbi Shimon, in fact, doesn't hold that way. He holds that a Yochid that does it on the Ruaz Basin is still going to be Chayiv Chatas. It's only if the entire Klai Yisrael does it, the majority of Klai Yisrael does it, then you're not Chayiv an individual Chatas because you're bringing the power of Helem Dover Shot Zibor. Now, Tosos here points out that the gearsa that we have in the Mishnayis and Horios is the exact opposite. It says that Rabbi Shimon holds over there that you're a potter in that situation. Also, pian bein evio kaparosim bein lo, Rabbi Shimon is potter. So, the way Tosus understands it, to reconcile the girsa that we have in the Gemara and Horios with the girsa that we have over here, is he says that Rabbi Shimon would say over here, yochid she'asa boraz beisdin would be potter. You don't need a pasuk to tell me that it's obvious that you'll be potter because you did it under the horah of beisdin. So again, Tosus and Rashi over here have a totally different way of understanding this. Rashi has the gears over here that Rabbi Shimon says that you would be chayiv horaz based in, and Tosus explains, no, that's the incorrect girsa, and therefore he has to switch it around and say that Rabbi Shimon doesn't need a pasuk to tell me that you're potter, and therefore he has the extra miyut to tell me the case of Ze'en Yocho, Ze'en Yocho, that you're still potter even in that situation. So that takes care of the drushes of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda for these three miyutim. But we also have the opinion of Meir. Rav Meir said that even if you did it with somebody else, and each of you could have done it on your own, you're still going to be chayiv in that situation. And certainly, if each of you couldn't have done it on your own, you're going to be chayiv. So what does Rav Meir do with these three miyutim? So the Gemara says he doesn't have three miyutim. He only has actually two miyutim. And the Gemara says, Rav Meir, miksiv nefesh secheto, acha secheto, basosa secheto. He says, you're reading this pasuk, you're chopping up this pasuk as if it's three drashas. I disagree. Tre miyutik sivi. It only says two miyutim over here in the pasuk. In fact, he darshes it differently. He just has nefesh achas, and he has basosa. He doesn't have three miyutim. He only has two miyutim. And therefore, what does he need him for? Everybody needs one to tell me. Everybody agrees with this first drasha that you need to do the entire Akira and Hanocha yourself, the entire process. That's one. He needs one miyut to tell me. If you didn't do the entire Akira, the entire Hanocha, if you did half, somebody else did half, you're not chayav chatas. And then the second one he needs, the chad lemute yochid shasor boras beisdin. Oh, he needs us to tell us that if an individual does it with the horah of beisdin, then he's potter. So therefore, he doesn't have either of the two drushes that Rabbi Shimon had, the other two drushes, or the one that Rabbi Yehuda had of zeh yochol v'zeh yochol, or zeh eino yochol v'zeh eino yochol. He doesn't have both of them. And therefore, Rabbi Meir holds your chayiv throughout. He doesn't have a miyut to tell me that you wouldn't be chayiv. So whether you could do it on your own, or whether you couldn't do it on your own, if you did it with somebody else, both of you are chayiv. That's how Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Meir understand the drushes from these psukim. Fine. Amar, the Gemara continues and requotes what we said. Zeh yochol v'zein yochol. If you have one of them able to do it on his own, v'zein yochol, and the other one was unable to do it on his own. So, divriya kol chayev. The Mishnah said that you're going to be chayev in that situation. So, the Gemara now asks, haimina yom chayev. Which one of them is chayev? The simple understanding is that we don't know. Is it the one who's able to do it on his own, or is it the one that's not able to do it on his own? Tosfos has a different understanding. Tosfos says, no, we never hear that ahava mean over here. Tosfos says, in the Dibur HaMaskel, Haiminayim Mechayev, lo boy lemeimar, don't even think for a second, sheyipotu oso sheyochol, v'lechayev she'enu yochol. Don't think for a second that the question is that the one who is strong enough to do it on his own, he would be potter, and the one who's not strong enough to do it on his own, he would be chayev. That doesn't make any sense. Things is svara. Therefore, Tosfos understands it is not which of the two should be chayev, is are both chayev, or is only the stronger one chayev. In any event, whether you want to learn it as to which one is chayev, or are they both chayev, or is only the strong one chayev, we're going to come to the same conclusion that only the stronger one is chayev. Amar Chisda, Zeh Sheyachol, the one that was able to carry it out on his own, he's chayev. Because the E, Zeh She'en Yachol, my covet, because the one who wasn't strong enough to carry it out on his own, so he's not really doing much over here. The one who could carry it out on his own, he essentially does all the work, and the other one's only mistayeya a little bit. And therefore, he doesn't count. And therefore, whether you want to learn it like Rashi, whether you want to learn it like Tosos, they both agree that the Gemara's answer is that only the one who is strong enough to do it on his own, Zeh Sheyachol, he's Chayev Achatas, and the one She'en Yachol Asos, the one who can't do it on his own, he is Potter. He doesn't have to bring a Achatas. Because the E, Zeh She'en Yachol, my Kovid. Chisda explains that the one who couldn't do it on his own, he really didn't help. My Kovid, what did he do? However, Rav Amnuna says to him, he did something. Amalei Rav Amnuna, Rav Amnuna says to Rav Chisda, the call Messiah Bahaday. Okay, the one who did it on his own could have done it totally on his own, but now the other guy helped him. So he could have done 100% of the work on his own, but this way he did it 50-50, or he did it 60-40, whatever it was, so the other guy helped him. So Rav Amnuna says, why should both of them not have the same din? The bottom line is, the weaker guy helped the stronger guy. So why isn't he Chayev as well? He's Messiah. So Gemara says, Omalei, Rav Chisda responds to Rav Amnuna, and he says, Messiah ain't bo mamash, that this person who helped, his help is really insignificant. As Rashi says, ain't bo mamash, mi she'eino ela messiah abadovah, the one who's only assisting over here a little bit. V'imbol asosu levado ein yochol, if he had tried to do it on his own, he wasn't able to do it for whatever the reason. Ain't bo mamash, his assistance is considered zilch, it's nothing. V'lo choshev midi, it doesn't have any halachic significance. V'lo miftar idach, and it won't do anything to exempt the other person. And therefore, we view it as zeh yachol, this one can do it and did it. And the fact that the other one assisted him a little bit is irrelevant, it's not choshev, and the one who assisted a little bit is not chayev at all. So therefore, that is the explanation Rav Chisda says over here, Messiah ain bo mamish. That's the halachic principle over here that Rav Chisda is explaining this, that the yochel is chayev and the einu yochel is not chayev, because essentially the einu yochel didn't do anything of importance. And now the Gemara is going to bring four proofs to Rav Chisda. The first one is as follows. Om Rav Zvid mishmei the Rava. Rav Zvid said in the name of Rava, we have a brisa to support this idea of Rav Chisda that Messiah ain bo mamish. What is that? Hoya yoshev al gabi amita. If you have over here a Zov who is on top of a bed. Now we know that a Zov is metame tumas medris. Anything that he's leaning upon, sitting upon, hanging from, etc. All the types of medris, of leaning tumah, are going to be, if he's supporting the Zov, anything that supports the Zov is going to become tummy. So this bed that the Zov is on, haya yoshev al gabe hamita, the Zov is on this bed, and the arba taliot tachat ragle hamita. And you have four taliot, doesn't mean literally like a talis like we have, it means some sort of a garment, some sort of a baggage, something is underneath the four legs of the bed. Tachas ragli amita. What is this taliot? What are these? So Rashi says that these are talitos. These are the plural of talis is talitot. Not like people say talasim. The correct grammatical plural of a single talis is talitot. It's feminine, not talasim, as is the common vernacular usage. In any event, you have these four garments underneath the four corners of the bed. Now, the Zov is Matami, the bed, and it's Matami, anything under it. We have the princess and the pea rule, where if you have 10 mattresses and the Zov is on the 10th mattress, so even the bottom mattress is considered Tomi Tumas Medris. It's not the top one is a Risho and the second one's a Shani. No, they're all Ava Tumas. So it's like the princess and the pea, that the pea was all the way in the bottom and she was able to feel it. So the mattress all the way on the bottom is also going to be Tomi Tumas Medris. So all of the shmatas, all of these garments that are supporting the legs of the bed, so maybe it doesn't scratch the floor, whatever it is, so every one of them is going to be matame via the zov. Tomatoes, they're all going to be tame, tumas medris. Why? Because the bed can't stand on three legs. It would fall down. So each of these legs is essential. So this is essentially a case of and therefore, this goes like the opinion that says, when neither of them could do it on their own, and they have to do it jointly, so then they're going to be chayev chatas. So too over here, the Tanakama says that they would be all tumas medrash, because zeinu yochol, yachayev achatas. So over here, each leg of the bed can't hold it up on its own. So therefore, they're all going to be tamei tumas ziva. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Rav Shimon matar. Rav Shimon disagrees. Rav Shimon says no. L'shitaso. Rav Shimon holds that even though zeinu yochol, it doesn't make a difference. You're not chayev achatas in hilchos Shabbos for carrying, and you're not going to be tamei over here, even though it's a case of Zeinu Yochol v'Zeinu Yochol. Rashi explains over here, Dibra Masku She'enu Yochol Lamo Lo Gimel, because the Zeinu Yochol v'Zeinu Yochol, this is again the case, as I said, each one can't hold up on its own. Kol Echo V'Echo Kulei Maisa Ovid. So each of them is doing essentially the whole Maisa. V'Gabi Medris Hazov Bo'inon She'inose Rubo Alov. He brings down that you have to have most of the Zav. Now here, each of them is only holding 25% of the Zav, and therefore, that's why Rabbi Shimon says, you're all Tahar. None of them are actually becoming a Medrash. The Mishnah continues, but if a Zav was riding on a Behema, so of course, the Behema is alive, it doesn't become a Medrash, but if the Behema is standing on something, the Behema is standing still, the Zav is sitting on the Behema, anything that the supporting the Behema is also to become Tomei Tumas Medrash. So these four Talios, these four garments that are underneath the legs of the Behema, they're all going to be Tahoros. Now this is true not only according to Rabbi Shimon, this is true even according to Rabbi Yehuda. And the reasoning is, because here, the legs of the animal, it can stand on three legs. The bed can't stand on three legs of a bed. It will fall down. But an animal can stand on its three legs. And therefore, what you have over here, Vamai, why should this make you Tohar, Ha, Komisayi, Ba, the other? Each leg is helping the other leg, even though it could stand on three of them. Each leg is helping the other legs. So therefore, this should be a Messiah. And what do we see? That you're Tohoros. It doesn't make it into Medras. Mustn't it be La Bishum Darmina? Because we hold Messiah. Each leg is supporting and doing something, it's considered halachically insignificant, exactly like Rav Chisda said, Harayat to Rav Chisda, that Nisayeya ain't bo mamish. Where it says, not so quick. I'm Rav Yehuda Midiskarta, Rav Yehuda from Midiskarta, the same of a place. He says, Lolom, ain't melechom Nisayeya yesh bo mamish. No, you could argue over here that you can't bring a proof to Rav Chisda that Nisayeya ain't bo mamish. In fact, you could hold Nisayeya yesh bo mamish. Then why over here, in the case of the animal, do we say that the shmatas, the cloths, the talios underneath the legs are tohoros? If mesayeya yesh b'mamish, then they should all be capable of assisting, so to say, and all of them should become tamei tumas medrash. So he says, or Yehuda Midiskarta says, shiny hocha. Here it's different. Why? The okra lo legamre. Because guess what? One of the legs is off the ground. It could stand on three legs, and the other leg is not even mesayeya at all. It's totally off the ground. As Rashi says, Okeres haregel min aretz vafilu misayeya lo hevi. It's not even misayeya. That's why they're tohoros. Where says then, wait a second. So you can't stand on zero legs. It's standing on three of the legs. So where it says, v'kivan de zimnin okra ha, v'zimnin okra ha, it's lifting up its right foreleg. Then it's lifting up its left foreleg. Then it's lifting up the right hind leg. It's not standing on zero legs. It's always standing on, let's say, three of the four legs. So this should be analogous to the case of Lehevi Kizav HaMishapech. This should be similar to the case of a Zav who is in a bed, as we'll see. Milo Tnan, we learned in the Mishnah in Zavim that Zav Shehu Muto Al Chamisha Safsalim. A Zav is lying on five benches. Now he could lie across them or he could lie parallel to them. So again, you have five benches and they're oriented in the same exact orientation as the Zav. So he's literally lying on only one at a time. Or he could be lying perpendicular to them and he's lying on all five at a time. A small part of his body is lying on each bench. Or likewise, it doesn't have to be benches. Or Chamesh Pundos. Rashi explains that Pundos are Charitin, which are Kisim Aruchim. They're like long money belts. The nose of them balls, you put money inside of them. V'ruyin l'shamesh shechiva im melachtum sheyoshiv aleihem. And they can be used because you can open them up while you're lying on them. So this is not a case of omed v'nasa melachtin like we learned previously, that it would not make it into a medrash. But this is something that you could use it as a money belt. You could open it up from the side, and yet you can still lie on it. So these are the equivalent of long, soft money belts that would be equivalent of long benches. So you have five of them, let's say, lined up over here, either benches or these money belts, and the Zav is lying on them. If he's lying lo'arkon, if he's lying in the same orientation as the benches, so then it's a possibility that he's lying on each and every one of the benches. He moved about, he went from bench one to bench two, his entire body is parallel with bench one, he's on the entire bench, it's supporting his entire weight, so that one is tummy, tumas medrash, same thing with bench two, or money belt two, three, four, and five. And therefore, if he's lying in the same orientation as the benches or the belts, so then, la'arkun tmeim, because maybe he was on each one. So therefore, they're all tamei al sofik, or vade, that he went on all of them. L'rachbon, but if he's lying perpendicular to them, so only part of his body is on each of the five benches at the same time, tahorin, because none of them are supporting his entire weight. At most, he's supporting roughly 20% of his weight. So therefore, tahorin. None of them is capable of supporting on its own. The Mishnah continues over there in Zav, and it says, Yoshim, but if he was asleep, that's when he was up, then, Sofik mishapik aleim, we have to be concerned that even if he was originally lying in the perpendicular orientation, he may have moved in his sleep into lying into the parallel orientation, and therefore, each one of the benches or the money belts was in fact supporting his weight, and therefore, tumeim in that situation. Now, the reason that he's tummy over here is because it's possible that his entire weight was supported by each of the benches because he was mishafik. But in the case of the animal that was on the shmatas on the garments over here, we say in that situation the animal's shmatas are all tar. They're not tummy tumas medris. Elo, la mishum daminon, it mustn't it be that we're saying in that case, then samayit misayeya, ein bo mamish. Oh, here's our raya to Rav Chisda. The difference in the case of the zov on the beds or on the money belts is because he possibly was fully supported by one of them. But in the case where he definitely wasn't fully supported by one of them, the case of the rochev al gabi behema, and he has the arba talios tachas raglei behema, so that clearly is just misayeya. And you see a riot through Chista, since in that case you tar, Misayeya ain bo mamish. That's proof number one to Rav Chista. We now go to proof number two. Gemara says, Amar Rav Papi Mishmei Rava. Rav Papi says the name of Rava, Afanan Namitino. We also have a Mishnah to support, another Mishnah in Zavim, to support Rav Chista's statement that Misayeya ain bo mamish. What is that? We turn to Yomid Beis. Rav Yossi Omer, the Mishnah there says that Rav Yossi holds, Hasus Metame Yal Yodov, Vahachamor Al Raglov. Now, actually, if you look on the side, it says in the Mishnayos and Zavim the exact opposite, that the source is Batame al Raglov and the Chamor is Batame al Yodav. We'll keep the girsa that we have and explain it, but realize that the Mishnayos there seem to have the exact opposite girsa, which doesn't really impact our discussion, but just for accuracy's sake. So the girsa that we have over here is Rav Yossi holds that the source is only going to be Matami Medris. If a Medris, if a person who's a Zav, sits on top of the horse, so again, the horse is alive, it doesn't get any Tumma. No animal other than human beings can accept Tumma while it's alive. But if the horse is standing on Talios, so then only the front legs, the Yodav, we refer to the forelegs, and Raglov, we refer to the hind legs of the animal. So the foreleg of the animal of a sus is going to be metame medris to garments that are underneath it, because the horse is supported mostly by its front legs, as opposed to the donkey, the chamar, is supported mostly by its hind legs. And therefore, in this situation, the medris only goes to the front legs of the sus and to the hind legs of the donkey. Why? Shemis enish asus ayodav, because as I already explained, the Mishnah tells us, again, according to the girsa that we have, the sus is mostly dependent the weight on the front legs, and the chamar is mostly dependent the weight on the hind legs. Again, the Mishnah in Zavim actually has the opposite girsa, that the sus has most of its weight on its hind legs, and the donkey has most of its weight on its forelegs. In any event, the Gemara now comes to the proof to Rav Chisda. V'amai, why over here do we say that the back legs of the horse and the front legs of the chamar don't get tumas medris to the cloths that are underneath them? After all, aren't they misayeya? Even though most of the weight is by the front legs of the horse and most of the weight is by the hind legs of the chamar, there's some weight that's supplied by the hind legs to the horse and the forelegs to the chamar. So it's misayeya. So why don't they convey the tumas medrash to the garments underneath them? They help a little bit. Oh, proof to Rav Chisda. Oh, this is proof number two to Rav Chisda. Proof number three. Amar Ravashi, Avanam Namitmina. We also learn Ravashi says in a braisa. Here the braisa says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Raglo echaz achas ala kli, v'raglo achas ala ritzpa. Now Rashi explains this is dealing with a kohen doing the avoda. A kohen must do his avoda barefoot on the floor of the azara. If he does it on something, or if he's wearing shoes, so then there's a chatzitza between him and the kli sharis, which is the floor, must be done on the floor. So therefore, it's a chatzitza and the avoda is possible. So the question that we're asking over here in this brisa, Rabbi Eliezer says, what happens if the kohen had his foot, one foot on the kli, and one foot on the ritzpah? Raglo chasal kli, standing on something. You're not allowed to stand on something. But one foot is on the floor. That's right. So one foot is good, one foot is bad. Or alternately, raglo chasal eved, one foot is on a stone. Again, that's a chatzitza. That's no good. Raglo chasal ritzpah, and one foot is on the floor. So how do we view this? So Rabbi Eliezer says, Rowan, we view this over here as the following. If he's standing on a kli or on a stone, what would happen if you took that kli or that stone away? Would he fall flat on his face? If you took the kli away and you took the evan away, would he still be standing on the other foot? If he really was mostly supported by his other foot that was on the floor, and this was just assisting a little bit, you can get ready to see the point that we're going to make. This is only misayaya a little bit, so then, in this situation, we say the avoda is good, avoda so kshera, because most of the work was done with the foot that was really on the floor. We have a similar halacha if a person is leaning on something. In halacha, you have to stand sometimes in davening, you have to sit sometimes in davening. So what happens if a person is leaning on something? So again, we view it. If the person is leaning on something, if you took that thing away, he'd fall flat on his face, then he's called sitting. It's not called standing. If you took the thing away and nothing would happen, he wasn't really leaning on it so much, so then he's considered an halacha standing. So the same thing over here. The halacha, according to Rabbi Lazar, is if he was able to stand up on that one foot that was on the floor and he wouldn't fall down flat on his face when he took away the other foot that was standing on the stone or on the utensil, it's considered that the avoda is a good avoda. He was standing on his foot. But the imlad, if you took the stone or the utensil away and he fell flat on his face, then avoda is a psula. Then he obviously was being supported by that foot as well. And therefore, the avoda is considered having a chatzitza done with it, and it's not a good avoda. Now, again, here's the proof to Rav Chisna. Why do we say over here that even in the situation where he wouldn't fall flat on his face, that the avoda is a good avoda? Isn't the foot that was on the utensil, the foot that's on the stone, still supporting him a little bit? It's helping a little bit. What do we see? It must be that Rav Chisna is right. Here's another brisa that supports Rav Chisna. Rav Chisna is the Amora. We brought down Tanoic sources, brisas and Mishnayis that support Rav Chisna. Masayeya ein bo mamish. That was the third proof. Now we have the fourth and final proof. Amar Ravina, afanami tnima. We also learn another brisa. Ravina says also proof to Rav Chisna, Masayeya ein bo mamish. What is that? Talking about the coin has to do the avoda with his right hand. That's the din. A lefty is actually possible, is a psul of kahuna. But the avoda, even if you're a righty, must be done with the right hand. A kohen who does the avoda in his left hand, that avoda is no good. So the situation is as follows. The brisa says, kibo b'yomim, the kohen does the kabbalah of the dam in his right hand. You have to do it when the animal shechted, you take a kli sharis, and you accept the lifeblood that comes out of the neck of the animal. You have to do the shechita. That's called kabbalah. And you have to do this with your right hand. Now, what happens if the kohen holds the cup in his right hand, but he uses his left hand to support it? Usmol m'sayato, his left hand is helping his right hand hold up the cup. So, avodosok shera. The brisa says, that's still a good avoda. And the Gemara says, the obvious question, v'amai, how come it's good? The left hand is supporting the right hand. Hokom esayei v'hadi adode. So, isn't this avoda done with the left hand and it's no good? Ella, what do you see? Lav. The reason why it's good is, mishum damrinam esayei b'mamash. It must be because the left hand's help over here is considered insignificant. Misayeya ein bo mamish. Shma mina. We have another proof over here, four proofs in all, to Rav Chisna's idea that misayeya ein bo mamish. So we have four Tanoic sources to support the Amora of Rav Chisna in his statement. Gemara now requotes what we said previously. Omamar, we said, Zeyochov is Zeyochov. If both people are able to do it on their own, but they did it jointly together, so Rav Meir is chayev in that situation. Rav Meir is chayev. Now, the Gemara asks, according to the Shita of Rameh, that says, even though each one can do it on their own, you're still going to be chayev. Ibailu, they ask, according to this, does each one need to have a shear of the Isser on their own, or is one shear enough? So, for example, if they each were able to carry out this loaf of bread, does the loaf of bread need to have two grogerises worth, or is it enough if it has only one grogerises worth in it? Because the shear of carrying is one grogeris, but is that one for the both of them? Or does each one need his own grogeris in this situation to be mechayev? That's the question. Ibailu, be'inon shear lozeh, v'shear lozeh. Granted, they're going to be chayiv, even though each one could do it on their own. But does a loaf of bread have to have two grogerets in this situation? Or do we say, no, Odilma, shirach l'kula. Even if it only has one grogerets, the two of them could be chayiv together for jointly carrying out a single grogerets. That's the question. The Gemara answers, this is the machlokas between Rav Chista and Rav Amnuna. Chadamar, one of them, we don't know which one said it. Shir l'zev, shir l'zev. You need two grogerets over here. Each one needs their own shir to be chayiv. The Chadamar shir echel l'kula. And the other one said, no, a single shir is good for both of them. So a single grogerets would be able to be mechayiv both of them. Amar Rav Papa, Mishmei the Rava. Rav Papa says the name of Rava, Afanan Namitanina. We're going to have now four proofs. Again, like we had four proofs before the Rav Chista. We don't know if this was Rav Chista or Rav Amnuna, but whichever one said that a single shear is enough, we're now going to bring four proofs to this shita that says shear echod l'kulan. So the first one is from Rav Papa in the name of Rava, again, similar to before. Afanan Namitanina. He said we have a Mishnah that supports this as well. That Mishnah from Zavin that we had previously. Hayyoshev Agabi Mita, if a person Azov is on a mita, the arba talios tachas ragle mita, and there are four garments underneath each leg of the mita. So tumeas, we said the mita is going to become a tumas medrus itself, and the garments underneath it are also going to become tame tumas medrus. Why? Because each of them is essential over here to go and support the bed. We had this previously in the shiur today. We're not going to re-explain it again. Now, each of them is essential. Now the Gemara says, "Vamai, how come each of them is able to become tame tumas medrus? After all, you have one zav, so each of them, maybe you might have thought, should require its own zav. So if you had four zavim on the bed, then you would have shir lezeh, v'shir lezeh. But you only have one zav on the bed, and yet it can work for all four different garments under the four legs of the bed. What do we see? You don't require, you don't need liboy shir ziv lezeh, v'shir ziv lezeh, ela what? Here's proof number one, that one zav can be metame tumas medrus, all four of the garments. Even though it's only one zav, it can be metame all four garments. That's raya number one. Raya number two, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, we also learned this in the Mishnah. This is Mishnah later on in Amasechta, when we're dealing with the dinim of trapping. You're not allowed to trap on Shabbos. So therefore, if you have tzvi shenichlas labayis, if a deer comes into your house and you close the door, and it's now not able to really go around in the house, that's considered trapping. And you're chayiv. If you did this accidentally, you'd be chayiv achatas. But if two people close the door, so then p'turim. This goes with the opinion that each one could have closed the door on their own, and therefore, zeh yochol v'zeh yochol, so therefore, if both of them do it together, then they're going to be p'turim, based upon zeh yochol v'zeh yochol, p'turim. Now, what happens, lo yochol echod linol, if each one on their own couldn't close the door? It's a very heavy door, and you need two of them to push it closed, v'nol lushnayim, and they both close the door, then they're going to be chayiv, because this is a case of ze'enu yochol v'ze'enu yochol, and if they do it together, this is the opinion that says you're chayiv. Now, how come there's only one deer inside v'amai? If you say, liboy yishir tzei d'lezeh, yishir tzei d'lezeh, that each of them has to do a trapping, so then you need to have two deers inside, but it's only one deer inside. So what do you see? El alav, mishum damrin and shir echel l'kula. And we hold like the opinion that says, even though there's only one deer inside, there's only one shear of trapping, nevertheless, you're going to be chayiv even if two people do it together, even though there's only one shear of trapping. That's proof number two. Proof number three, I'm a Ravina, afanan amitima. We have a braisa. Ravina says it supports his rule. If a person, rachmon l'stan, steals something, he's chayiv to pay kefal. If he stole a sheep, so he goes and shechs it, or he goes and he sells it, a tvach or mecharo, so then he's chayiv four. If he did it with an ox, he'd be chayiv five times total the amount. Now, the braisa says, if you have shutvim, hashutvim shugon v'vutom chu chayovim. If you have a pair of robbers, and they stole something, and then they shechted it, so they'd be chayiv either four for a sheep or five for a ox. Now, v'amai, how come they only shechted one animal? Liboy shir tvich lezeh, v'shir tvich lezeh. If you want to say that the halach is that you need shir lezeh, v'shir lezeh, they should have had to shecht two animals in order for each of them to be chayev. Elo, the chayev for shechting one animal. So where it says, lav mishum daminun shir echad kulam, that one shir is enough. Tosus points out that you couldn't have learned this over here from the Geneva, because the Geneva, any amount is considered significant. So each of them has a pruta, so you're not going to find the case by Geneva. That's why I'd have to give the case by the Tvicha and the Shechting, because there's one animal to Shecht, and you don't need to do an animal for each of them. One animal would be Chaya for both of them. That's the third proof. And the fourth and final proof, Yomar Vashi, Afanan Amitinim, we also learned. It says in the following Brisa, Shnayim Shotziu Kaneshul Gardi Chayovim. Now, A kunishal gardi is something that the weaver, the gardi, he uses to make sure that the threads in his loom are aligned properly. And apparently, this reed, this kana, is used for one garment. So therefore, this is one garment's worth of a kunishal gardi that they carry out together. Shnaim shotziu kunishal gardi. Tosu says over here, it's very, very heavy. B'kana kaved, in the Dibra Maschel, Ela Eimel Chayavim, Rishimim Poter, he says, we're dealing over here with the kana kaved, the Havalei, Zeh Eino Yochel, Zeh Eino Yochel. We're dealing here, it's very heavy, and each of them can't carry it out on their own, and therefore, this is a case of Zeh Eino Yochel, Zeh Eino Yochel, they do it together, they're going to be Chayav. That's why the Braisa says, Shnayim Shosiyu Kona Shogad, Yeh Chayavim. Now the Gemara asks, Vamai, how come the Chayav over here, don't we say, Liboy Shir Hotzol Azeh, Vishir Hotzol Azeh, should have to carry out two kanas worth of gardi over here and not one? Oh, must be, Haraya, Lab Mishum, Damrinun, Shirecha Lekulam. Ah, here's another example that you only need, it's another proof that you only need to have one shir for both of them to be chayiv. But this proof is not going to be successful. We're ultimately going to say that you can't bring a raya from here. You can't bring a raya against it, but you can't bring a raya from here. Because Amalei Rav Acha Bered the Rav Ravashi, he questions this and he says, maybe Dilma this Bekidei Lavasho Beitzakal Lazeh or Beitzakal Lazeh. You're right, this is a reed for the Gardi, but it also could be used as firewood. And this reed has enough wood in it that it could cook two Beitzakal. So it does have a Shir Lazeh, Vishir Lazeh. So you can't bring me a raya. Moore says, if that were so, that it's talking about firewood, him came, Lishmainon, Kona Diyama. Why did it tell us a Kona Shogardi, Maishno de Gardi? It should have just said, he took out a reed. And then we would know that it had enough firewood in it for two people, and we wouldn't be able to bring a raya. The fact that it specifically mentioned it was a Kona Shogardi must mean that it only has a shear for one. Ah, so our raya is reinstated. Moore says, no, not necessarily. Dilma de isbeke de larog mapalazeh, umapalazeh, ukede larog mapalazeh. You know what? Normally, this Kanishal Gadi does one garment, but here we're not doing a full garment. We're doing some sort of a towel, a mappa. So therefore, while it normally does one garment, it's able to do two mappas. And therefore, you can't bring me a raya that this is Shir Echod Lekulon and not Shir Lezeh V'Shir Lezeh. The Gemara says, you're right, Taka, we can't bring a raya. This fourth proof isn't really a good proof. It could not be necessarily talking about Shir Echod Lezeh. It could be talking about Shir Lezeh V'Shir Lezeh. The first three proofs were good, but not the fourth one. Finally, Gemara concludes and says, Tani Tana Kameder Rav Nachman. We have a Amora who learned Brises in front of Rav Nachman. That's always what it means. Tani Tana. It doesn't mean a Tana. It's an Amora who's learning the Brises in front of Rav Nachman. Learned the Brisa the following way. Shnayim Shotziu Koneshul Gardi Pturin. Or Brisa, it said that if the two people take out the Koneshul Gardi, so they're going to be Potter over here. Now, this is the position that we previously attributed to Rabbi Shimon, who says that if you're dealing with very heavy things, so Ze'enu Yochol, Ze'enu Yochol, and both do it jointly, Rabbi Shimon said Peturim. So right now, this is the opinion of the Tanakhama that it's Peturim. And then surprisingly, we come along and say Rabbi Shimon Mechayev. Rabbi Shimon would say that this situation would be Chayev. And the Gemara says, that's crazy. Klapi Laya, that's incorrect. We learned it the exact opposite way. So the Gemara says, you're right, Taka, this Amora learned the Brisa incorrectly in front of Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman switched it around and taught him, Elo Ema, this is the way you should read the Brisa. He told the Amora, Chayavim, the Tanakama is the one that says you're Chayev, because Zayin Yochol, Zayin Yochol, the Tanakama is the opinion that says, if they do it jointly, that you are Chayev. And along, it's Rabbi Shimon who comes along, Rabbi Shimon Poter, that's his Shita, Lishitaso, that even though it's Zayin Yochol, Zayin Yochol, Rabbi Shimon holds Lishitaso, based upon the Miyut that we have from the Pesukim, Asosa, you have to do the whole thing yourself. Here they didn't do the whole thing themselves, even though they couldn't do it individually, you're going to be Potter. Let's start the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins as follows. Hamotzi Ochlin Pochus Mikashir Bekli. If a person takes out food that is less than the Gerogeris that you have to take, and he takes it out in a Kli, so one might have thought you'd be chayiv for the Kli. No, Potter Af Ala Kli. You're not chayiv because you didn't take out enough food, but the Kli is still batel to this small amount of food. So even though you didn't take out a grogeris, if you took out a grogeris' worth, you're certainly going to be Potter on the Kli. But the Chiddush over here of the Mishnah is, even though you didn't take out a grogeris' worth of food, the Kli is still considered subordinate to it, and Potter Af Ala Kli. You're not going to be chayiv for the food, and not even for the Kli. Shakli Tvelelo. The Kli in this situation is considered subordinate to the food, and while the food would normally make you chayiv, it was a shear. Here it didn't have the shear, so you're not chayiv for the food, and you're likewise not chayiv for the kli. Similarly, as a chayiv b'mita, if a person carries out a live person on a bed, so you're potu alamita. You're not chayef for taking out the live person because chay nosei es atzmo, and you're not potu for taking out the bed. Shamita tfeilolo. The bed is subordinate to the live person, and it's not an issa d'oraisa to carry a live person because we have a rule chay nosei es atzmo. A live person carries himself. So even though you are physically carrying the live person, it's not considered halachically d'oraisa that you're carrying, and therefore you're not chayef d'oraisa chatas for carrying out the person, and the bed is subordinate to the person, so therefore you're not chayef for the bed as well. However, if you were to carry out a dead person on the bed, so then you would be chayiv. You'd be chayiv over here for carrying, because the mace is not nosei es atzmo, so you'd be chayiv for carrying out the mace. The bed would still be potter because it's subordinate to the mace. Likewise, the Mishnah continues and says, v'chein kizayis min hameis. Now it's telling us, if you want to carry something out, what the minimal shear is for carrying that. Nothing to do with the bed anymore, although if you carry it on the bed, you'd be potter because the bed it's tofel to the amount. So you're potter on the bed, but you'd be chayiv over here, the king kizayis min hameis. You don't have to carry out the whole mace. A kizayis min hameis is considered significant, and you'd be chayiv for carrying that. Or alternately, kizayis min hameis. If you took a kizayis min hameis, that's also considered significant. Both the kizayis min hameis, kizayis min hameis are capable of being metame, and therefore, so they are considered significant. Or kadashim and asheretz, the amount of asheretz that's metame is an adasha, a lentil's worth. So therefore, all of these things you'd be chayiv, they're considered significant, and therefore, if you carry them out, you're chayiv. However, Rabbi Shimon Poter, Rabbi Shimon says, in all of these situations, this is something called a malacha she'eino tzricha legufa. As Rashi tells us over here, afilu b'mei shalem, Rabbi Shimon argues not only on these kizayis or adasha, but even on the entire mace. Rashi says, afilu b'mei shalem, you're not going to be chayiv. Why not? Because they have a malacha she'eino tzricha legufa. You don't want that mace outside. You just don't want the mace inside. Since you're doing this malacha, not because you want this malacha done, you just don't want something else to be there. You just don't want the mace over there. Therefore, having malacha shein tzricha legufa, this isn't the malacha like the way it was done in the Mishkan. And therefore, it wasn't needed over here to carry out the mace. You just didn't want the mace inside. You don't want the mace outside. You just don't want the mace inside. This isn't considered a malacha d'oraisa according to Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara starts off and explains this. Tanu Rabbanon, learning the b'raisa, hamotzi ochlim kishir. If you take out the amount of food that you'd be chayiv for, normally a grogeris of food is the amount that's considered significant to be chayiv for. So in b'kli, if you take it out in a kli, the Braisa says, Chayav ala ochlin, you chayav for taking out the food, upatu ala kli, because the kli is subordinate to the food, you chayav for the food, and the kli comes along for the ride, so to say, and you're not chayav for carrying out the kli. However, the Braisa says, if you need the kli for whatever the reason, so then you're also chayav af ala kli, you're also chayav on the kli. Moore says it doesn't make any sense, though. We're talking about chatas. You did this all in one hell, machas. So when you took out the food and you took out the kli, it was one lack of knowledge that it's Shabbos. So are you telling me over here, Shmami, no, we can see from here, if you eat two kizesim of chelev in one lack of understanding, so then chayiv shtayim, you chayiv twice? Because here, you took out the food, and you took out the kli, that's behelam echos. You're telling me you chayiv twice, so then if I eat two kizesim, I should be chayiv twice, but that's not the halacha. That can't be. So one says, I'm Rishashis, you're right. You know what? Hocham Ayaskin, you know what we're talking about over here? This case is Kigon, we turn to the Omid Aleph, Sheshogag ala Ochlin, the Hazen ala Kli. You know what we're talking about? That he didn't know that you're also to carry out the Ochlin, but he knew you're not allowed to carry out the Kli. And therefore, that's why he's not Chayev Achatas on the Kli, but he's only Chayev on the Ochlin. More says, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. Maskel Ravashi, the Mishnah said, V'hoa, you're also chayiv on the kli. It doesn't say you're not chayiv on the kli. It said not only are you chayiv on the food, you're also chayiv on the kli. So that doesn't make any sense to say that you're shogi on the ochel and amazing on the kli. So Gemara says you're right. Elom Ravashi. Ravashi gives a different teretz. Ravashi says kigon sheshogak bazeh bazeh. He made a mistake in both of them. He didn't know you're not allowed to carry out the kli, and he didn't know you're not allowed to carry out the food. And then benod alo. Then it became clear to him that you weren't allowed to carry out the food. Oh, so now he's chayiv achatis on the food. And then the chazev and odlo, and only later on did he know that you're also not allowed to carry out the kli. That's why you chayev tu chatos. That's what Ravashi says is the explanation of here, chayev af ala kli. And this, in fact, is exactly the machlokes we had earlier in the sefer. This should have hopefully sounded a little bit familiar. Ubeplukta, the Rav Yochanan, Rav Shimon ben Lakish. We had this exact machlokes early in the Masechta, where we had that Ravashi is exactly like Rav Yochanan. The Ravashi says that you can be chayev for this one and that one. exactly like Rav Yochanan's Shita was, and Rish Lakish's Shita was different. No, you'd only be chayav once over here because it was one halem, and even though you found out at two separate times, you wouldn't be chayav twice. Ah, so Rav Ashi is explaining the Gemara exactly like Rav Yochanan. With that, we conclude today's shir.